Well, good morning. Nothing like Yay. Well, my name is Becca. I'm the kids pastor here at the Eagan campus. And so if you don't normally see me up here preaching, it's because I'm not. So before I go any farther, I just want to take a moment to thank Pastor Rob, Pastor Aaron, and the leadership of River Valley for not only giving me this opportunity to speak today, but different communicators across every campus. Really cool thing at River Valley is no service will look the same this weekend, as it's a different communicator. Some have two communicators and tag teaming, and it's a special weekend that we love here, but it's an honor to stand up here and one that's not taken lightly when God gives you the opportunity to share our heart and his words with his people. And so it took a long time to prepare this message. I have a daughter, Colleen, who was very invested in this message all week. And actually, when we tried to get her to come in here for service, she insisted upon helping in Go Kids. So she didn't want to be a part of it. But she every day, Mom, are you done yet? Are you done writing your message? And I'd have to remember, no, I'm not. Thank you, Colleen. And on Friday, at least, she offered to help me. Mom, I could help you write your message. So I thought, you know, this could go one of two ways. Unsolicited advice from Colleen is a 50-50 shot of being humorous, and at the very least could be a sermon illustration, right? So I thought, okay, I'll read you the scripture, which today's message is based off. So that scripture passage is Psalm 34:8, and it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." So I read that, and then I looked up at Colleen, waiting for her wisdom, and she's like, "I don't get it. Are we supposed to eat the Lord?" I was like, no, dear child, we are not. But you know what? It was worth the pause. It was worth asking Colleen her thoughts on it, because what it did say is sometimes when we see scripture through the eyes of a child, we can understand that it's not supposed to be taken quite literally, and we have to look into it. So what does this passage tell us? And in order to see what it's really saying is we have to look beyond just these words. The cool thing about Psalms is it was written by a psalmist who obviously had just gone through something in their life which created them to write what they wrote. And so Psalm 34 was written by David. And anytime we're talking about the Bible, please, 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 as a kids pastor, it's one of my things, these are not characters. These are real people, real stories. The Bible is not a fairy tale. The Bible is history. So when we look at these things, sometimes we think, well, that was David in the Bible. No, that was David. That was David, a shepherd boy, a giant killer, a chosen and anointed soon to be king, but started as a shepherd boy. And this almost soon to be king is right now running for his life from the current king, King Saul, because Saul doesn't really want to give up the crown. Can you blame him? But David is running. David is he's honestly in fear for the safety of his life. And so where we find him is David has now just brought himself to Achish, king of Gath. Now, Gath is actually the home of Philistines, and David brought himself to the city of the Philistines because he thought Saul was so dangerous for him that being in the presence of the enemy of his enemy would be a better solution than being near Saul. But when he gets to the king's servants notice, isn't this David? Isn't this the one that the Israelites are singing about? Isn't this the one that is to be king of the land? And all of a sudden, he realizes he's in danger. Those words sit heavy on his heart, and David starts to act like he is insane. He starts to scrape. The Bible tells us he's scraping the doors and the doorposts, and he's letting saliva drool down his mouth into his beard. He acts as if he is insane. And the king says, "Why would you bring this insane man before me? Don't I have enough of them?" And then the next passage just tells us, just so easily, chapter 22:1 says, that David left Gath, escaped to a cave in Adullam. And that is where he writes Psalms 34. David was just surrounded by his enemies, and now he is in a cave, and he is rejoicing, and he is giving thanks. And that is when he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." So taste, it's an interesting word. The Hebrew word for taste, and it was written in Hebrew originally, is ta'am, and it means to taste. If you look up the definition of taste, it says to perceive or experience the flavor of. You guys, we are being invited in to the goodness of God. That is what this is saying. So why the word taste? To me, it represents our choice. We have the choice to eat, right? We have the choice to experience our God who is so very good. He's so very merciful. He loves us endlessly. But we have to choose to experience that love, to experience that grace. The funny thing is about taste, before you actually put anything in your mouth, you've used quite a few of your senses already. You've seen it, you've smelt it. Depending if you are like some of my children, you may have already felt it with your fingers, even though you should be using a fork. But you've almost already made a decision before it enters your mouth to be tasted. That decision isn't always correct. Proven by, I don't know how many of you in here are parents or how many of you have children did this, but it's the picture that plays out in many homes where you call your kids to the dinner table, they come running, and then they see the food and they stop in their tracks. And I have four kids, so inevitably there's probably going to be one that will do this and they will scrunch up their nose and say, "Ew, I don't want that." Well, how would you know? Well, it doesn't smell good. Or my favorite is when all of a sudden they're not hungry anymore, even though 30 minutes later, earlier, they were starving. Like, I don't believe you. So as a good parent, you make them sit down at the table and you make them try it and taste it. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that most of the time my kids change their mind and love what I put before them if they've already decided they don't, but sometimes they do. Where once it goes into their mouth, they realize that the way they smelt it, the way they saw it, wasn't necessarily exactly as it was. And you needed to have the full experience to understand what this meal was. We do know from Scripture that the Lord is good and he is appealing. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." There is an aroma of goodness that God has, and he draws us into himself. Some here may be seeing and smelling the goodness of God, but have you truly sat down at the table and experienced that goodness? Because when someone has truly experienced that goodness, you crave it, and you can't help but want it. And this, taste has that power over us, at least over me. And once you experience it and you love it, you just can't stop thinking about it. And this actually reminds me of something that happened when my son started working at Doolittle's. Deb Bjorkstrand told me, "We like to go there and we really like the mudslide pie." But it was during the COVID menu, so mudslide pie was not available. And, you know, when you want something and you can't have it, you crave it even more. And so she was telling me how much she wanted it. Well, Xavier had come home from work one day and said, "Yeah, we got some more stuff on the menu." So I was like, "Did you get the mudslide pie back?" And he said, "Yeah." So then we had, he's over there, sorry. Don't look at him when you're talking about him, that's the problem. So we had a worship night and we were gonna go out afterwards. And I said, "Deb and Corey, do you guys wanna go to Doolittle's? The mudslide pie is back." And Deb said, "Let's make sure." So I call Xavier at work and I was like, "Do you have it?" He goes, "Yep." So we go over there, Deb's all excited. She's like, "Hey, because this is the only reason, I'm only going to go there if they have this pie." And we get there, and the other server hears us talking about it. She's like, "Oh yeah, we don't have that." And I got to tell you, if looks could kill, I would have three kids right now. So, but Deb really, really wanted that. But the other thing about Deb, since I'm talking about her, is that Deb knows how to crave Scripture as well. Something I've loved seeing is she stays up late, and that's like my most quiet time. And I love seeing, Deb will post on her story every single day the passage she got from soap. And so you can see what someone craves by what they're posting, what they're sharing, what's coming out of them. And Deb craves scripture more than mudslide pie, okay? So Psalms 119, 103 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." We're meant to crave scripture. We're meant to crave the Lord. Have you ever noticed how the Bible often uses references to food or drinks when referring to scripture or God? Colleen has. So it's because of our physical need, how we need food and water to survive. And there's a spiritual need and a spiritual self as well. And that need is just as strong. Did you know that the human body, and if there's a science teacher in here, please just, I did research on Google, okay? But the human body on the higher end can last 41 to 65 days without food, but on average about 3 weeks. And water, depending on the circumstance, if it's hot, if you're sweating, if you're being active, you could go about 3 to 21 days without water. If food and water are deprived from our body, we will very soon start to see side effects of dehydration and starvation. And if not treated, our bodies will die. Our spiritual bodies need to be fed as well. However, the warning signs of spiritual starvation and dehydration are often overlooked and attributed to other factors of life. Stress, busyness, depression, anxiety, finances, discontentment. Symptoms are quickly dismissed and explained away, even by Christ followers. When what is really happening is our spiritual bodies are starving and craving to be fed the only thing that can satisfy. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Some here today are still trying to fill the place of spiritual hunger and thirst with things of the world. You're seeing the symptoms and you're trying to treat the symptoms rather than going to the source and feeding your soul. When I was pregnant, I would get really, really bad morning sickness. And it would be this cycle of I would go to the emergency room, I would get fluids, they would get me to a place of being able to eat, and then about a week later I'd be back in the emergency room, because if you don't eat enough when you're pregnant, it just piles on. But there was always one food with each child that would stop that, typically, even unless it got really bad. But the thing is that, like, I didn't understand or know what my body was craving while I was pregnant with each child, but my body was craving something. And your body is craving something, too. Your spiritual body is craving something. And the great news is you don't have to go through, the old country buffet to figure out what it is. It is the Bible. It is the Lord. It is his presence. It is what only he can bring. Matthew 4:4 tells us, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Our spiritual self should be on a calorie-heavy diet. There is no Coke Zero, gluten-free Oreos, or sugar-free anything when it is coming to feeding ourselves spiritually. It needs to be rich and it needs to be full. Here's a thought for you. What if the only time you ate or drank was when you came into this building? We would give you your donut and we would give you your coffee. We'll put water out for those of you that don't like coffee. But what if that was the only time you ate in the week? And you're all thinking, well, that's crazy, because that would not work. But are you feeding yourselves spiritually? Are you expecting that the only time your spiritual self would be fed is when you come into the door of this building? I would say if you are not seeking God, submitting to his will, trusting his plans for your life, and getting in his word daily throughout the week, then perhaps you are not tasting and fully experiencing him, and in turn allowing your spiritual self to be dangerously unhealthy and weak. You know, if a physical body goes too long without eating, about 3 days, according to Google, hunger pains will start to diminish. It doesn't mean your body no longer needs food. It means your body is no longer warning you that it needs food. Has your spiritual body stopped warning you that it is starving? Proverbs 13:25 says, "The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry." The world does not have what it will take to fill you up. Today, I want to remind your spiritual self that you might be hungry and that God is good. His words are sweet and they are strength to us. His ways are perfect. That next raise, that last 10 pounds you can lose, getting the perfect house, car, or vacation, gaining the praise of those around you, that's not the answer. The God of the universe is inviting you to sit at a table to taste his goodness. He's not inviting you to taste a nibble. It's a feast. And if you come to his table full of the world, you will miss out. Psalms 81:16 says, "But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you." So church, let's stop being bystanders to God's goodness and start truly tasting and experiencing it, because we are being offered his very, very best. Everyone in this room is at a different place with their walk with the Lord, in a different place in their faith journey. But what I can tell you with absolute certainty is that nobody has arrived, and that everybody has deeper that they can go with the Lord. So just some practical tips, and there are so many ways. But maybe someone in here today has never made Jesus Lord of their life. You've never repented and given your life to him. And in a few minutes at the end of the service, we're going to give you that opportunity. And that would be a really great place to start. Actually, the place to start. Maybe you've given your life to the Lord, but you haven't been baptized as a believer. Maybe you were baptized as a child, but since you've given your life to Christ, you haven't been baptized. That would be another amazing place to start. Everybody needs to be in the Word. Everybody. That is the source of our strength. If you have time to feed yourself physically, you have time to feed yourself spiritually. There's many ways that are put into place here at River Valley. One of them is soap. There are soap cards as you leave. And what it is just our devotional we do as a church. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. We read the same chapters together every day. It's a great way to get into the Word. There's something else that's making a move here, especially at Eagan Campus. Our men love it. It's Promise Principles. See, they love it. If you're not, men, if you're not in a Promise Principles group, get in a Promise Principles group. Now, here's the side note, ladies. Someone walked up to me the other day and said, "What do you have for small groups for me?" She was a woman. And I looked on our page, and we have nothing over the summer on our page. So you know what, ladies? Promise Principles is really good for us, too. And I think it would be amazing if over the summer we saw 3 or 4 Promise Principle groups pop up and they be full. And if you don't know what a Promise Principle group is, when Pastor Aaron returns home from his vacation, ask him, because he would love to talk about them with you. But that is an incredible way. I've seen men at this campus grow and develop together in their Promise Principle groups. What if this summer we committed to feeding our spiritual selves every single day? Be thinking calorie heavy here. Another thing is serving. And I'm not saying this for my own good, trying to get someone to serve and go kids or in other needs of the church, but I'm saying this because this is what Jesus himself said in John 4:34, is my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. If Jesus is calling serving his food, then who are we to turn our nose up at it? Maybe we need to be told, like children, to sit down at the table and try it. Start seeing beyond yourself and see the lost and the work of the Father the way Jesus did, and you certainly will see the goodness of God. Another thing, go to explore. Maybe you're not called to go on the mission field, but this is a mission-minded church. Go to explore and see what type of a difference that you can make in the world, even if you're staying here. Lastly, submit and surrender your will and plans to God. He wants all of you, every part of your life. Spend time listening in prayer and not just talking. A really great example of this is Alicia. And I asked her yesterday if it'd be okay if I shared part of her story. And I met Alicia. She was baptized on January 31st. And on February 3rd, she came into the office to meet with Pastor Aaron and myself. And when this woman walked into the office, she was broken, and there, she didn't look like she had a lot of hope at that moment. And what I saw in Alicia is she was saying things like God's plan, she quoted scriptures, but there was this moment where we just challenged her, would you submit and surrender? Because right now you're making a plan. But God has a plan for your goodness, for his goodness. And you might not be reading the story right. Would you allow him to author this story? And what I saw is something I don't know if I've really ever seen in a person. Over the course of 1 hour, she changed. She submitted and she surrendered. And when I look at Alicia and Randy, and I see their family where they are today on May 30th compared to where they were on February 3rd, there is nothing that can be said but only God. And they are the spokespeople for taste and see that the Lord is good. See, Alicia took refuge in the Lord, fully surrendering and obeying. And when we do that, we allow God the space to show us how good he truly is. To take refuge means to go to or into a place for shelter or protection from a danger or trouble. This speaks to trust. If I go to a tornado shelter, I am putting my trust in this building that it is going to keep me safe when the storms hit. But the thing about a shelter is I have to pick which one I'm going to stand in. You cannot physically stand in two shelters at one time. So you need to choose where your refuge is. Because if you don't, you may be standing outside. You know, I can almost promise you that that morning when David woke up and he was going to go into the town of Gath, he did not think that the image of God's goodness was going to be him drooling all over his beard. But this man found himself in a city of his enemies surrounded. The thing about Gath is that giant that he killed, Goliath, that's where Goliath was from. Goliath was like a hero. He killed their hero and he went to their city, and now they just realized who he was. And the other thing is he was wearing Goliath's sword on himself. That sword had to have been recognizable. How but God's goodness could somebody just be free from that? I want to know someday how that all came about. Because in the Bible, God doesn't need all this massive credit. It's just like, and David left and went to a cave. But that is a massive, amazing miracle of God's goodness. And I don't know where you find yourself today. But God is good. And he tells us that. And he tells us to run to him. And he will be our refuge. And if we taste and experience, but that means we have to surrender and we have to sit down and we have to taste what he has put before us. There's not a menu. God is going to do amazing things. The God of David is the same God of today, and he will show up for you. He will fight your battles. He will provide for your family. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He will make light come from darkness. All you have to do is choose to sit down at that table and experience God and run to his refuge. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. His plans for you are good. Taste and see. I told you earlier that I was going to give you an opportunity that if you don't know Jesus personally, to a place where you feel like he is the one that is sustaining your soul daily, that you can run to him. I want to give you that opportunity right now. I'm just going to ask everybody to close their eyes, bow their heads. See, Jesus came to die on a cross for our sins. He came so that we can be close. He came so that he can rescue us. God doesn't do anything small. He's a God who lavishes his love upon us, and he wants to be in relationship with you. And it's as simple as this. It's as simple as saying, Lord, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I repent of my sins, and I want to be a new creation. And I'm telling you what that's going to be like, because I'm going to ask you in just a moment, if that's you, to raise your hand, because I want to pray with you. And we want to get your spiritual self being fed and whole and healthy. So today, if that's you, on the count of three, would you raise your hand? One, two, three. I see that hand in the back. Anyone else? Okay, we're going to pray this prayer together, and we're all going to pray it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for taking my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Wash me clean. Feed my soul. I'm going to live for you forever. Now I want to give one more opportunity, and that's this. Who needs a little first aid for their soul? I said that when I would get super dehydrated, I'd have to go to the emergency room and we'd get set straight. And in an instant, our Heavenly Father can put you at a good spot. And so if you need just CPR for your soul, if you just need a fresh dose, if you want to say that today is the day that I am going to take care of my spiritual health, can we just raise a hand? That's great. I'm just going to pray over you. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you that you set a table for us and the food never gets cold. You don't stop serving. You don't have times that we can come, Lord, that we can come anytime during the day. And we are always welcome. And so, Lord, I just pray that right now that you would revive our souls, that you would soak them in your presence, in your love. But Lord, I pray that you would remind us again that we are craving you. If it's been so long that the hunger pains aren't even there, Lord, I pray that you would put hunger pains in all of us for you daily. That would put us to a place of even deeper experiencing you. That, Lord, that we would be willing to sit down anytime you set a table, and we are going to experience what you are setting before us, and we are going to always say yes to tasting what you are putting before us. Lord, I pray for those in the room that just need refuge right now, that they need a miracle in their life, that they need light to come out of darkness, that they need you to provide. And Lord, we know that you are the same God of David, that even when everything looks impossible, that you can make a way. Lord, we pray for that refuge and that you would make a way. In your name, amen.